The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say amen, I
shot, no shot. Kap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I should.
Good morning and welcome in to the Kap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. On this Deal Breaker Thursday, we've got Shot or No Shot, and Kap, in 1 hour from now, scheduled to join us, we have a special guest. We've got the man, not just any man, we got the man.
The Nature Boy,
Ric Flair.
Woo!
He is going to be here. He's scheduled to join us at 9 o'clock, so an hour from now.
We're supposed to hear
from Ric Flair. He's in town. So we'll talk to the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion coming up in an hour from now. He's got a special event he wants to talk about, so we're trying to get this all squared away in an hour from now here on ESPN 1000. Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the updated PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game, live parlays. And if you want to play the ponies, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Snorling Rock and Roll Kid.
Good morning, boys. How we doing? Hoodie, Cap?
All good. Ready to go.
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for asking. And by the way, we have the Caps Pool Party VIP package giveaway this hour, Cap. An opportunity for some of the listeners to be able to hang out with you.
On Sunday in Villa Park at the new PointsBet Sportsbook Club Hawthorne wagering facility called the Crazy Pour.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be there from 3 to 5, and they're giving me $1,000 to bet on the horses. I got to bet the whole 1,000. If we win, and I'm going to be handicapping hard all weekend, if we win, they're going to split all the winnings among all of you that go.
105 East North Avenue.
I'm playing long shots. I'm taking a shot that we all walk out with some cash.
So when you hear Secretary going through our studio.
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning. Be the fifth caller.
You're talking to my favorite animal.
Okay.
Favorite athlete.
Okay. Dead. The fifth caller at 312-332-3776. You'll be able to get an opportunity to hang out with Cap. Now we can rock and roll, and here's Shay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Hoodie. I want to start with a question about the Bears. Andrew Janoco, the Bears quarterback's coach, gave a rather honest appraisal of what has been Justin Fields' biggest issue in the NFL. He said, quote, timing and rhythm is everything. Anticipation is everything. Great quarterbacks in this league, if you see him open and the ball is still in your hand, he's not open. It's already closed. So my question, shot or no shot, Justin Fields' lack of anticipation is the biggest issue he's facing as a passer.
Well, that's a shot. It's about feel. And it's not just about us watching it. We could talk to former athletes, former football players, or former quarterbacks that say the same thing. Feel, anticipation. Should I run? Should I not run? Is the window opening or is it closing for me to get it to Pettis or others, right? So it's a shot.
I'm with you. It is a shot. First of all, does he make mistakes? Yes. Despite what some who will be giving you their thoughts online want to put everything on him. It's not all on him, but some of it is. He's not a perfect player. He's not. That's a fact. He misses some easy throws. He panics a little bit. He holds the ball too long at times. He tucks and runs too quickly. He's got no good receivers except Darnell Mooney, and he's got a lousy offensive line. That's a really dangerous combination. Shay.
All right, I want to ask about Matt Eberflus, who also spoke on Justin Fields and whether or not he's seeing enough progress from Fields as a passer. He had this to say.
Yeah, just like we've been saying, and I think he's been improving on it. You know, it's his footwork and the timing, and we think he's doing a good job of that. We did a few different things last time in the last game, I think, that helped him. So we're just looking forward to doing some more of that and going through this process.
More honesty there about the footwork and the timing and really the anticipation. So my question is, shot or no shot? The coaching staff refusing to coddle Fields and holding him accountable and being honest about where he's lacking is the best thing for him.
Oh, that's a shot. And then on top of that, you could make the case, and some have, that Justin Fields and the Bears, they're not necessarily tied to one another for the long haul. You have an opportunity here with everything that's going on with the team to be completely honest. It's your first year. The reason why you're the head coach is because you need to clean up this mess or this mediocrity. So you have every right to say whatever you want about the players that's on your roster.
So completely agree with you. They're not tied together long term. He's in year two. They don't have to announce yet if they're picking up the fifth year option. That means, though, there's only two seasons left that you're guaranteed to have this kid if you choose to go down that road. And if at the end of this year they finish at 4-13 and they're in the top five and there's a quarterback sitting there that they really truly believe in, would you be shocked if Ryan Poles moved on?
It's not who they drafted. So, I mean,
yeah, I pushed back on you on that the other day.
What's that?
They all wear the same logo, Bears. He's theirs. They may not have selected him, but if you have to get rid of him and go back to a rookie quarterback again, you're hitting full rebuild right in the nose.
Well, when I say that, it's just the truth. It's not who they drafted. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's up to this new regime to determine whether or not this player, any young player, is good enough for the long haul when this team is good. It's on them to make that decision.
No question. But if you have to change quarterbacks and you're playing a rookie next year, or you're going to go out and let Trevor Siemian start and sit a guy for, you got real troubles. Now you're 3-4 years out.
Man, let me just tell you, the way this NFL is and the media scrutiny on these teams today, Cap, like, there was a time where you and I actually grew up before Shea and before JC was around. We would see teams stick with a quarterback for 6-7 years, waiting for development, waiting for a team to develop, waiting for a team to be a perennial playoff team, and it would never come. And the same thing, but here in 2022, man, these quarterbacks, or some of these young players, only have a two-year window. If you can't get it done, I got to move on, because if not, I'm going to get fired. Look how quickly these coaches are getting fired. Four years or less. You're not even serving a four-year term, a president's term.
I mean, what if you have a horrific record this year?
Which you will.
Right. And then next year you go, yeah, we're going to draft a quarterback. We're getting rid of Justin. And they trade him. Move him out. He's gone. Okay, now you got a rookie quarterback.
Whoever that is. Yeah.
Have you addressed all your other ails? Probably not. You've gotten better, I would hope. If you have a bad year next year, all of a sudden, you're going into year three with this regime going, are we any better?
Don't forget the Kaplan model now. The old Kaplan model is, when you do get to the draft, and if you do find best available as a quarterback, get him.
You got it. How is your board set up? Period.
Okay.
They had Brett Favre in Green Bay, and their board said the best guy on the board in the first round is a guy named Aaron Rodgers. He sat for 3 years. He's going to go down as way better than Brett Favre.
What do you think, Shay?
The flip side of this, too, and I kind of am with Hoodie here, is if you're doing this from the perspective of the front office rather than the perspective of how quickly can we win a championship, you may actually extend your job security by drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you go with Fields, you are wedding yourself to him.
Yeah, but if you are drafting a quarterback because it helps your job security, then you're effed from day one.
Ask Gettleman from the Giants.
Well, sure, but it does. It also depends. They allowed him to draft like two or three. So, but it depends on whether or not that quarterback works.
If he only drafted one quarterback.
Was he just Daniel? Oh yeah, Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
that's my point. That he thought he saw the next Eli Manning. He got fired. Coach got fired. But again, that's patience. See, this is Daboll saying, well, this is the guy that's here. Let's just see. Let's put him in a new system. Let's try to refurbish it a little bit. Now look at the offense.
Right.
Everything's still based on Saquon Barkley, but still, Daniel Jones looks renewed.
He does.
The team looks good with him as a quarterback.
They're playing much better football. Again, do I think they're a 14-win team? I don't.
No, but look at it, though. That's that's when you say, this is not our quarterback, but we're going to see what happens. Now look what's happening.
Playing better.
See? What do you think, Shay?
Yeah, I'm just I kind of stick with the same point on it. It gives you a chance to build it the way you wanted rather than getting a quarterback you didn't choose. I think that's kind of the way the NFL has gone. It's very rare you see a general manager wed themselves to a quarterback that they didn't draft. Whether they wear the same logo, I know this year Justin is their guy. That may not be true if they're horrific, and next year they have an opportunity to get a quarterback in the draft.
All right, what else do we have?
Bill Belichick offered one of the longest press conference answers of his career yesterday. A 7.5-minute, 1,003-word soliloquy on the Chicago Bears, including lengthy high praise for virtually every player on the roster. The Patriots, of course, will play the Bears Monday night. So my question, shot or no shot, Belichick doesn't actually believe the praise he gave them. It's just making sure his team doesn't overlook the Bears.
That's a shot. I mean, oh my God, we got to play some of this. I was listening to it on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. Really? He couldn't even remember the name of our head coach. I mean, what are we doing? Explosive plays, praising Velus Jones. Stop.
It's the old Lou Holtz sandbagging.
Correct.
Let me just tell you, it's a very difficult Rice team. That offensive line is unbelievable.
Excuse me?
Right.
They are terrible. But you put it out there in the press for the players to feel like, oh, we can't overlook them because coach said we can't overlook them.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that... what was the question about that? Say the question.
He doesn't believe the praise he heaped on the Bears. He's just making sure the Patriots don't overlook them.
That's a shot.
Yeah, 100% shot. We're going to play some of it. And oh, my God.
He, but also probably knowing Belichick, he sees something in the Bears that all of us don't see because he's an oracle, you know. I'm sure there's some bottom shelf players on this roster in which he says,
if they were on my team, they'd be all pros.
Maybe.
And by the way, shout out to Smith Marset. Out!
Gone.
That happened while we were away, too, by the way.
You know who Belichick didn't heap praise on while he was busy calling Velus Jones and all these guys fantastic? Mm. N'Keal Harry. Left him out.
Yeah. A thousand words. He didn't mention him, huh?
What? No, the question should have been, he would never answer it. Coach, if Justin Fields had been on the board at 15, would you have taken him?
He would never answer it. You know why?
I don't get into hypotheticals.
No, his dog is not there to answer it. He's correct. The one making the deals.
Correct. That's it.
Shay.
All right, a Washington Commanders fan took home $14,000 after winning the team's 50-50 raffle on the September 11th home opener. However, the fan had to wait over a month until October 13th to receive the check, which, upon deposit, bounced. The check was from the Commanders organization, and a Commanders spokesperson blamed the gaffe on a, quote, bank error. Shot or no shot, the Washington Commanders have become the worst organization in sports.
You know, for a long time, it was the Clippers, Cap. For a long time, it was the bottom feeders. The worst.
The worst.
Especially under Elgin Baylor. Now, it wasn't his fault. It was ownership.
Donald Sterling.
Chicago's own.
Unfortunately.
So, think about all the bad organizations out there. I mean, Daniel Snyder, that's right there in the team photo of bad.
Oh, horrific. Now, I read an interesting article where they talked about, you know, people that are firing on Ron Rivera. They said he has done so much to try and change the culture there.
Marlins are down there, especially under Jeter. Who am I missing, JC?
I'd even say the Hornets.
That's mismanaged. It's horrible. I would say shot. Oh, and you know what I'll add with the crap cherry on the sundae is Daniel Snyder. That makes it even worse because you have a cloud of controversy over your organization.
Just a bad guy.
Yeah. So I would say shot to that. At this point, in 2022, for sure. Would you agree?
Agreed. 100%.
If you have not heard from Bill Belichick, the head coach for the Patriots, you have to hear this because that's the next opponent for the Bears. Bears-Patriots on Monday night. Belichick loves the Bears. I mean, a lot. Next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings 7 to 10. On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we have got Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35. It is a Deal Breakers Thursday. Nature Boy Ric Flair scheduled to join us in our 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears are going to get ready to take on the New England Patriots. And no matter whether or not the Patriots are in the middle, if they're up or down, it is Bill Belichick, the greatest that we've ever seen at the head coaching position in the National Football League. We've seen so many greats, but this guy is just, he's just a difference maker when it comes to getting a team ready and prepared for their opponent.
You really have him as the greatest.
Yep.
I'm not saying I didn't. I just want to throw a couple other candidates out there.
No, it's Belichick.
Don Shula, winningest coach of all time.
Great steakhouse.
Delicious. George Halas, who he's tied with. Vince Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
There's some amazing coaches. Amazing.
Let's hear from the greatest
Matt
to ever
Nagy.
Do it. All right, with Matt Nagy. That's enough of that. So Bill Belichick is trying to let the Chicago press know that playing the Bears, dangerous game. Dangerous game, Cap.
We better come ready to play. They're loaded.
How about Bill Belichick? Now, here's a guy here that is, if you look up the word brevity in the dictionary, you'll find Belichick's face. He doesn't say a lot. It's usually mumbles underneath his breath.
Coach, let's talk about, the lot. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yes.
We're on to Cincinnati. But, Coach, we're on to Cincinnati. Yes. That's it.
That's it. It doesn't mind if he gets fined or if he does utter something into the microphone.
So, yesterday, 1,003-word opening monologue. 1,003 words. 7-plus minutes on the Bears.
His thoughts about the Bears team and offense. Here's a little sample of Bill. Go ahead.
Do you have the first thing where he forgets our coach?
I
don't know if we have that.
We have an executive producer. Ask him.
Do we have
I have four cuts in front of me. You want me to parse through and see which is what? Ask him.
It's in there.
Okay.
Go.
So that, where I'm going is to hear from Bill Belichick, the head coach for the New England Patriots. He gives his thoughts on the Bears team and the offense.
A pretty impressive group and really a young team that you can see getting better all the time. Coach has done a really good job here with, installing his system and I think adapting and to the personnel that they have there and obviously getting a lot of young players involved. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. Offensively, Fields is a major threat every time he touches the ball, a very athletic kid. Mooney's is a really an outstanding receiver. He's had a ton of production and
he has 200 plus.
I can see why he's very, very good at everything, plays multiple positions, in the slot a lot, but they'll move him around and he's had a ton of production. And then, of course the backs, Herbert Montgomery are very good. This running game is right there with Cleveland. I mean, they literally have about the same exact amount of yardage. I think Herbert's leading the league in yards per carry. They're very hard to tackle. And, they do a real, real good job with their running game and the play-action game as well. A lot of explosive plays, lead the league in yards per pass attempt. They've hit some big plays. Some of those are catch and run plays. And then when you add on field scrambles, which are, they might count as running plays in the stats, but they're actually passing plays in terms of having to defend them. There are really a lot of explosive plays there that are a problem.
Some of that's true. Some of it's not. Some of it's true.
Yeah, I won't disagree. Some of it is true. David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert are a very good duo. Again, I don't know if David Montgomery will be here at the trade deadline because he's a free agent at the end of the year, and I don't think they're going to pay him. But some of that, the explosive plays, he goes on. I know you got more to play, Velus Jones and the specialty. Really? Where are all the explosive plays he's talking about?
Jones in a return game, strong, explosive guy. We spent a lot of time on him.
It's fine.
Really dangerous with the ball in his hands. And then You know, Pettis and Ebner. Ebner on the kickoff returns, another fast guy, plays really in all their special teams. And you know, Pettis, experienced guy back there. They use, you know, him some on punt returns. But it's a good special teams unit, very sound.
They fumble.
Good players, and, you know, it's a lot of tough matchups there for us.
Do you think he's trolling with the balls in his hand? He's dangerous because he fumbles all the time.
What's he talking about?
Two of the last three weeks.
When he has the ball in his hand, he's dangerous. Well, that's kind of rare.
That's actually true. When his ball's in his hands, it is dangerous because it might hit the turf. Actually, he's not lying there. See, there's a mixture of hyperbole and truth in there.
Well, when he says that Ebner's really quick, Velus Jones is dangerous, we did a lot of work on him. Yeah, in the draft. Correct. I get it. He's fumbled twice in the last 3 weeks, and if he's back there again on Monday night and he fumbles again, that's not his fault. That's on the coach. That is on the coach 100%. Fool me once, shame on you, Jonathan. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times? Come on.
Coach Eberflus has really done a good job. I mean, in the second half, they're the best defensive team in the second half of games in the league. Haven't given up much anything here in six games. I think they're under 7 points a game in the second half or something like that. So, you know, you watch them play in the second half, and it seems like as they gain confidence, figure out what the offense is doing, make some adjustments, they've been able to really shut almost everybody down. And so that's, you know, obviously a big concern for us as well. So,
they average 15 points a game.
Well,
there's a lot of concerns there.
I mean, listen, he's got to put something up there on the board for the Patriots to look at.
Yeah, you don't walk in. Guys, that team's horrible.
Yes.
We should win this game 38-7. You got me? Let's go to practice. No, nobody says that.
Now, I'll tell you this. I asked my old partner, the late Doug Buffone. I said, you guys lost a lot of games. I said, you hurt a lot of people, you and Butkus in that group, but you lost a lot of games. Was there ever a game in which you went into the game thinking that you're going to win? He said, Little John is what he'd call me. Little John, when the Buccaneers came into the league, we thought we knew we could beat them. And we practiced hard, but we saw those uniforms and we said, we can beat them. When they saw their creamsicle and saw that they were an expansion team and they were terrible.
And they went 0-14. And John McKay, what do you think your team's execution? I'm in favor of it.
Yes.
That's the coach. Yes. Said that.
And that's the only time where he said, a coach, it might have been Armstrong, just was like, we can beat that team. We can beat that team. Let's go. Let's eat. And Doug's like, okay. And they did. They beat the because that was a terrible team. But Belichick's got to put something on the board. You're a coach. You understand that. Uh-huh. Do not let down against this team because they do this, this, this. Now, some of that stuff's true. But now you're going over the top in praise. And it's almost like he's trolling the Bears. If you've never spoken this long or this openly about anything or anyone in your career and you do it to the Bears, that means you're scared. That you don't want to get embarrassed on Monday Night Football. It's your team. What do you think?
I think it's anti-bulletin board material. I think he's just, hey, we're going to take this team very seriously. We're not going to, you know, put anything up. Yeah, they're not that good. We're just going to go beat them. I think it's the anti-bulletin board material where you want to keep your team locked in. Don't overlook an inferior opponent and just make sure you go win a football game.
What if he was playing against you, me, and Jonathan? Does he say to his team, see the size of the hood guy? He's a big dude, man. We're going to have our hands full trying to block him. The Norling kid, we're going to have a really tough time slowing him down. We put a lot of work in on him in the draft. I mean, really? Does he say that about everybody?
Yes, absolutely. Because you know why? You know why he's the best? Is because he makes sure that that no stone is not unturned. Make sense? He wants to make sure that everything is, that you know about everything about the opponent. respect the opponent.
Correct.
Haven't you said that as a coach?
Yes.
Respect the opponent.
I would. I guess I'm speaking as a non-coach now.
Wait a minute. When you coached, if you played IIT,
yeah.
Someone gave you the scout, or you did the scout.
I usually did the scout.
Okay.
And I would say, okay, this kid Hood for IIT can flat out score.
Ah, Cap. He's just trying to justify his pay. No. Look at
that
this kid.
That kid can score. And I remember one of the games, Kenny Battle was guarding somebody, and he came to the bench at, like, you know, the second time out. Guy had scored zero. He goes, yeah, your boy's struggling. Can't score.
Okay, but okay. Still, you got to.
Thanks.
You still got to, but you still have to do the scout. You got to do the work, right?
Yeah,
it's the Bears, but he doesn't want to get embarrassed with that team.
Correct.
Against the Bears?
Correct.
So you get it, right?
Right. Whether it's the star quarterback or the 53rd man with an irrelevant number, that you are going to know everything about that player because we aren't going to overlook anybody. Now being, that's what I think it is.
Now, being effusive in praise of the Bears, and that's over the top. You can give your brief scout report.
He may have been having a little fun.
Well, the first cut you played, yep. Play that again real quick.
Sure. We got deal breakers coming up.
We do.
You know, a pretty impressive group and really a young team that you can see getting better all the time.
They've lost four in a row.
You know, Coach.
Have a day or three in a row.
Dangerous team.
He's done a really good job here with, you know, installing his system and I think adapting to the personnel that they have there and obviously getting a lot of young players involved. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. You know, offensively, the Fields is a. You know, it's a major threat every time he touches the ball. Very athletic kid.
No.
You know, Mooney is really an outstanding receiver. He's had a ton of production, and, you know, I can see why he's very, very good at everything. Plays multiple positions.
A ton of production.
In the slot a lot, but they'll move him around, and he's had a ton of production. And then, you know, of course, the backs, Herbert and Montgomery are very good. You know, this running game is right there with Cleveland. I mean, they literally have about the same exact amount of yardage.
Nothing like Cleveland.
I think Herbert's leading the league in yards per carry.
Yes.
They're very hard to tackle.
Yes.
And, you know, they do a real good job with their running game.
Yes.
And the play action game as well.
No.
A lot of explosive plays, leading the league in yards per
very
pass
few.
Attempt.
Nope.
They've hit some big plays. Some of those are catch and run plays. And then when you add on field scrambles.
Yes.
Which are, they might count as running plays in the stats, but they're actually passing plays.
Yes.
In terms of having to defend them. There are really a lot of explosive plays there that are a problem.
No.
No.
A lot of yes and no there, right? No.
Correct.
Not true.
Correct.
Deal breakers. It's coming up next here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
I'm Doug Llewellyn, and here's the case of the... Hold on a second.
Wrong show.
It's not the same show? Not the People's Court.
Good try, right. Though.
All right. Well, there's Deal Breakers here every Thursday here on ESPN 1000. And for more, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I want to start with a rare sports question in Deal Breakers. Your favorite sports team has not won a single playoff game in 20 years. They've made the playoffs multiple times, but in each instance, they have been swept out of those series. After making the playoffs again in their most recent season, they were swept out to continue the longest losing streak in professional sports. Would this be a deal breaker for you as a fan?
No, it wouldn't. I understand. I've been through the doldrums. I'm a White Sox fan, after all. And my friend here is a Cubs fan. So we've gone through a drought.
We have.
It's not going to stop me from being a fan. So that's not a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it's not a deal breaker for me either. And you said they're making it several times?
Yeah, of quite a few.
At least they're competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So no.
Keep in mind that, you know, for Cap and I, what our baseball teams use is pop-up stores. As Sylvie would say, right?
Sylvie, I give him a lot of credit, man. That he coined that term, and it's perfect. We don't want pop-up championships.
Yeah, so it's not a deal breaker for now. Now for you, Shay, it is a deal breaker because you just completely just stopped rooting for anything in Michigan besides the Michigan State Spartans.
I just check out. Yeah.
How about
if
that?
If you go four presidents and you can't win me a playoff game, a playoff game, forget a series, a game. Yeah, I'm probably good.
I mean, think about Cap, though. I mean, he goes back to the George Washington administration. No championships back then either for him. All right, Che.
All right, wow. You have recently started dating a woman, and right as it's about to get serious, this woman tells you that she's pregnant, and it belongs to a man she was seeing right before you started dating. Are you bailing?
What's the timeline on this again? What's the timeline?
About 3-4 months.
You start
3 months.
All right, wait. You're dating her for 3 months.
It's about to get serious, and she admits to you that she's pregnant, and it belongs to a man she was dating right before she started dating
you. How long
you.
Did she date him for?
Not long.
It just something happened, and she got pregnant.
Correct.
And when did she find out she was pregnant?
Before she told you, obviously, but not long before.
So she finds out, collects her thoughts for a few days, and tells me. Wow. Is the guy involved still, or is he as...
No, and she doesn't want him involved. It was a one-night stand.
Mm. And, of course, going through Cap's mind is, how hot is she?
My God, no.
You are that shallow. Of course you are.
I am that.
Is she hot? Take that! Ah!
Of course, that's what you're wondering. Right?
How old am I, Shay?
Let's say 30.
Go ahead, JC. Just chime in. What do you have there? What are you saying?
No. Just reacting back here right
now. You're saying no?
Oh, with this? Oh.
What's your answer, JC?
No shot.
Well, that's a different segment. Okay. Go back to
sleep. Yeah, we did that at 8.
Never mind. Go ahead.
I got to tell you, I'm out.
Well, I'm out. I'm just trying to... I want Cap to just say the truth that you want to know... You are hedging because you want to know if she's hot or not.
No, that's not the question. I'm not that shallow.
Pardon me?
I'm not
Pardon
that,
me?
Not
She's
that shallow.
Smoking.
All right, Emil. No, seriously. My question is, okay, so it's 3 months in. Do I truly, in my heart, feel like this might be the one? I might be marrying this person. Or I'm having a good time, like hanging out with her, but totally not. Thinking long term.
Of course, when you say having a good time, you mean sex.
No, and everything. Dating. There's more to life than just sex.
How would you know?
People tell me
that. How would you know about that, pal? Is she gone? Take that!
Right?
I mean,
you listen, people have to know. You are like a really shallow person in that you want to know. Cap, hang on a second. Let me finish. You're shallow because you are concerned. If I bring her to cut, will people talk? I'm just telling you. You think she's smoking hot? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Take that. Cap.
What is the barometer? I actually want to know. Like, if she's a 7, are you out? But she's an 8, you're in. Where is the line?
Is she still pretty while she's pregnant?
No,
it's mine.
A serious question. If I'm telling my brother, hey man, I think this might be the one. I'm head over heels in love with her,
but she's pregnant.
I probably stick around
if she's hot.
Why? This is gonna come off horribly. If she wasn't hot, don't think I'd be in love with her. She's got to be hot to me.
That is the thing, though. Like, if you're in love with a girl or you're really attracted to a girl, you would never know if she's not hot. She would just
That's
be hot to
point.
You.
That's my point. That's my point.
No, but it's got to be on the smoking level for you, though. Smoking hot.
Maybe.
Oh, you mean maybe?
But if I was in love with her, if I was truly, like, I got a pep in my step, I think I could see my rest of my life with that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably stick around.
Okay. I'm saying that I'm out because I was not told. I mean, what's the delay? Come on, tell me right away.
But if she said, I found this out 3 days ago and I've been torn how to handle this.
Yeah.
That wouldn't buy. Now, if she knew before we had our first date and we've been together for 3 months and now she's starting a show and you go, what's going on there? I'm actually pregnant. I've known for 3 months. I just didn't want to tell you.
That's a tough one.
Then I'd be out because she's not telling me the truth.
Yeah. I know we had some good meals, but my God, let yourself go. That's you, Cap. 100%. Now you're not hot anymore. What's with the ridge? And I wouldn't do that because I'm not shallow that way.
So you'd stick around and raise the kid?
Oh, well, it depends. Depends.
I would have to be in love with her.
Yes.
But again, if I was in love with her and I'm, wow, I fell hard, man. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I would stick around. And we would raise the child together.
Man, Bruce, do you think she's hot? What do you think? Exactly. We have more deal breakers right around the corner, but first, Danny's going to put money in your pocket right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
In the middle of deal breakers here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. I'm Captain Jay Hood. Still to come in our next hour, woo! The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, the Hall of Famer, is scheduled to be with us in our 9 o'clock hour here on ESPN 1000.
Can't wait to talk to Nate.
Do you have a little something extra to add to our last deal breaker?
Yeah, something that concerned me as I was thinking about the conundrum I would be in if I was in love with this woman.
Finding out if she's poor or not?
No.
Are you a poor? Do you like Yacht Rock? I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to bring in your debt.
You're incredible.
Is that not a question, though? That's
no,
a deal breaker.
No, it's not. Mindy doesn't like Yacht Rock. She thinks my music taste is awful.
I was talking about the money. But go ahead.
Mindy grew up in Dixon. Got no money.
She came in there with something. Don't come in there.
Lord.
Oh, you got her off the street?
I mean,
you're a poor, but you're hot. Let's do this. I'm just telling you. Credit score of 120. Mindy, my God, Mindy's, that won't work.
Mindy's dad was a teacher. Middle class is middle class cup.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks for, you know, helping out the middling in,
no,
in our country.
No, you're making it sound like I'll only marry someone who's come from Lake Forest, whose dad's a billionaire. No.
She just came around, but Lake Forest was on the menu. But go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong.
Lake Forest, not on the menu.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, wait,
in the area.
There, girl I went to college with.
Bam! See? Yeah. Who you think you're working with here? Jesus. You really think you're working with some right. some clown that doesn't know?
Genie.
Exactly. Stop.
Okay, so here's my question for you. She's telling me like 3 days after the way Snorling laid this out, mm-hmm. 3 days after she finds out, I had a one-night stand before we started dating and I'm pregnant. And it's not mine. It's the guy she had the one-night stand with.
Yes.
Okay, and I asked you, is the guy going to be involved? Because that complicates the whole
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure.
No, she's not going to involve him.
Okay, well, that's...
That's a character problem for me, because what if he does want to be involved? It's partly his. So if she's keeping it from him, then I got character concerns about her, so I'm out.
Yes, right.
So Snorling, I'm gone. Deal breaker.
All right. As
if he's choosing not to be involved, different story.
All right. So after further consideration and really ruminating on this a while,
there's some deal breaking of possibly involved.
And of course, her credit score. Go ahead, Shay. What else do you have?
That would be an issue.
If you're a poor, you're out. I'm just telling you. Poorly educated, no money. Your family sucks. You're a loser. I'm out. And that's David Kaplan. So long, everybody. Now go ahead. What else do you have?
All right, quickly. A girl you've been dating for over a year and plan to marry gets into a fight with your brother over a political disagreement, and the fight got so bad it became a fist fight. Now your family is demanding that you break up with your girlfriend because of this. Would you break up with her or stick by her at the angst of your family?
Well, who was wrong?
I will say that it became physical when the brother punched first.
The brother punched the boyfriend?
Girlfriend. Your family now wants you to break up with her because she started a heated political argument.
Wow.
Which side of the aisle? That's what Cap wants to know.
Right.
Which side of the aisle? I'm just telling you. I need to know. Are you a loon? Or are you extreme? Pick one. I mean, seriously, Cap, isn't that the choice, right, though? Are you a loon or are you an extreme?
Like, is the brother, like, AOC?
Yeah.
Or the orange-haired guy?
Seriously.
Like, are we that extreme or are we just having a political discussion about a topic?
Oh, I miss those. Just a nice conversation.
Can't have that anymore.
Oh, I miss just discourse, conversation.
If the brother is punching my girlfriend and he's totally in the wrong 100%.
Deal breaker. Just all that violence. No.
Well, it's not like a sucker punch, but it is like.
No.
They were both getting at each other and then he connected.
No. No. No.
Wow. I don't know how I'd handle that. I'd be complete. I need therapy for that.
Better help? No, you don't. There's no Cap. You don't want to be part of any of that.
No, but if you pick her, you lose your family. If you stick with the family, you may lose the love of your life. That's a bad situation.
She gone.
She a gone. True toss-up.
Just saying.
Probably kicking her out.
Especially if she's a poor.
Or a bad credit score. All right, we got to talk to Nate.
We'll see if we can get Nature Boy Ric Flair on the line. I know he's going to be on next hour. We've got more for you in 2 minutes right here on Cap and J Hood.